Ragarama by Woody Simmons, my guest in the studio today. Hope you're all enjoying it out there in Cow's Land. Whoops, Bossy and Bessie are here in the studio with us and Woody. Oh yes, it's a little tight in the studio with them, but we love them, so what can you say?
They keep bumping you. Their big old nose.
Exactly. We'll have to trim their horns a bit, though.
Yeah.
Keep pressing the wrong button on the board.
Exactly.
So you listen to Cow's Radio. Woo. My microphone is flying now. Our phone number in the studio, 707-874-1073. Coming to you from, beautific downtown Occidental. And we have Woody Simmons in the studio. And we've been chatting with Woody. And also she's been playing her banjo. And I've been playing some of her CDs, her way too few CDs. Now, Woody, four CDs or four albums in like 30 years, is that like, are you getting nosebleed territory? There's so many? Or
Oh, let's see. I don't want to get old. I don't want it to get too old, you know.
So. Keep it fresh.
Keep it fresh. Yeah. I think it's important. Yeah. Anyway, yes.
Okay.
Well. So yeah, people should call in because we want to give you our opinion. You can ask us anything. We'll give you our opinion about anything. And even if we don't know anything about it, we'll still give you our opinion about it because, like for instance, Sarah Palin, she gives her opinion on things she doesn't know about, and people like that. They like her, and we want to be liked.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
We have some great opinions.
I've got opinions.
So. Well, call up 707-874-1073 and you'll get an earful of them. And, well, that's it. Getting a voice, isn't it? Having a voice.
I know. That's a rare opportunity to be on the radio and have a voice.
Yeah.
For me, I don't go on the radio every day and tell people what I think.
Indeed.
It's probably a good thing.
Because we'd be on the radio even less.
What I really think.
Sort of to the left of Attila the Hun.
Well, I don't want to spoil the fun. So, I can play a little song here. This is, let me take these off here.
Oh, yeah.
Here, speaking of having an opinion, well, I was driving my car one day. When you're driving your car, and like, it was one of those days where just the oddest things happened. People did the really oddest things right in front of me.
Oh yeah,
it was just. Sometimes I get mad, but this day there were so many weird things that I just thought, I'll just write a little song about it. And, I'm not completely innocent.
You may have been guilty of some of those very same things.
I may have, on a bad day, or on a day.
On a day. Any given day.
Yeah. Driving along with my turn signal on, I'm driving along with my turn signal on, I'm driving along with my my turn signal on. I'm driving along, I'm driving along. I'm driving along with my turn signal on. I'm driving along with my turn signal on. I'm driving along with my turn signal on. I'm driving along, I'm driving along. I talk to my friend with my turn signal on. I talk to my friend with my turn signal on. I talk to my friend with my turn signal on. I'm driving along, I'm driving along. I move to the right with my left signal on. I move to the right with my left signal on. I move to the right with my left signal on. I'm driving along, I'm driving along. I drive really slow in the fast lane. I drive really slow in the fast lane. I drive really slow in the fast lane. I'm driving along, driving along. I'm pointing things out with my turn signal on. I'm pointing things out with my turn signal on. I'm pointing things out with my turn signal on. I'm driving along, I'm driving along. I'm driving along with my turn signal on. I'm driving along with my turn signal on. I'm driving along with my turn signal on. I'm driving along, I'm driving along.
Well, I thought you were very kind to them. I mean, it was it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, well, you know, that's because I'm not completely innocent.
It's always the others, yeah.
It is. It's always them. Never me. Always them.
So. But, yeah, it was interesting what we were talking about, you know, going, changing genres. You said you had a, you know, really awful experience, you know, when you went to more of a rock genre from your normal, you know, folk playing. That must have been... did you expect that type of reaction? I mean, was it...
Not really. I wasn't really prepared for that, you know, because I was having so much fun. And really, it was my dream come true to play rock and roll. Yeah! Just because, you know... So now I just sort of rock out on the banjo as much as possible. And I just slap it really hard. And that's my rock and roll now. I know my place. Right. I've learned...
Yeah, so some people, you know, can transcend what people have that initial vision of them, but others. It's just too strong, maybe.
Yes, see, other people can often see you better than you see yourself, you see, so.
Oh, dear.
It can be true.
Yeah, I try not to think about that, but, trying to think happy thoughts instead of, oh my God, what are they thinking of me?
Well, yeah, you can't waste too much time on that.
Indeed.
So,
we were, what was I, now your latest, Mile by Mile, your latest album, really, I don't think we talked about it off air, that you really completed the circle of leaving Iowa. And then sort of coming back around many years later. So was that, something you had to go through? You know, had to go back? Was that something very important for you? Was it something with your family? How did you work that into your music?
Well, I did write the Can't Go Home song. And I think the trip back to Iowa did... give me. I felt nostalgic. I felt a little sad, and it brought back my childhood memories of going to my great uncle's farm, which we went to a lot when I was a kid. And you know, when you're a child, everything looks really big. No. Right. And when I went back, I hadn't been there for, geez, whatever I said, 20, 30 years. It was a long time. To look at the house, which was completely abandoned and all the windows are broken and it's all grown over, and the barn was in just, you know, pieces on the ground. Oh. And everything looked so small, and everything looked very small and overgrown, and it was very interesting to see that. And I did feel sad. But the great thing about writing that song is that my great uncle's daughter, who was my cousin, she had not been able to go back to see it. She was quite a bit older than me. And when my mother sent her the song, because it describes my cousins and my sister, and you know, it describes our time as we were children there. When she heard the song, she actually felt a longing to go back, and she did. She went back and saw her cousins and you know, the farm and everybody. So for her, it was sort of a cathartic experience, and I was really grateful for that. For her.
Yeah, it took away that fear.
And it did.
She had.
It did. And it was, I love that she did that, and, you know, that that helped her.
They could actually do that,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Huh. One of the things on Mile by Mile, though, I really tried to use the banjo in you know, kind of standard ways and different ways and incorporate it into almost every song. It's not in every song, but I tried to incorporate the banjo and do kind of different interesting things with it. And there's a song on there. Do you have the cover?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you which one it is. It's actually the second song, and it's called There You Are. And I kind of use the banjo in a different way.
Oh, that's a lovely, that's a beautiful song, yeah.
So, I mean, that'd be a...
Okay.
We could listen to that. That'd be fun.
Oh, definitely. The you have such a lovely grasp of melody. You know, your songs, you know, when you sing, it's I just find it's just beautiful melodies you seem to be able to create.
Thank you.
Is that something from just experience? Did you always have that ability? How did you learn to have that that wonderful melody?
Well, I don't know if you can learn. I mean, you can learn songwriting. There's definitely something you can learn about songwriting, and I certainly have tried to learn as much as possible about songwriting and to try to be as innovative as I know how to be. I wouldn't say... I mean, there are some great songs out there that obviously... You know,
right.
I write my little songs, and and I like them. And but you know, I appreciate your comment. But you know, I just try to write from my heart and be as innovative in that as I can. And but yeah, I do try to write from my heart, and that's really where I try to stay.
Yeah, I think that's for me. I think that's why, because it seems to come through that it comes from there. It's not just somebody singing a song, that you do seem to have some truth in it when you sing.
Well, thank you very much.
So what inspired you to do the Mile by Mile album? Just, it was time to do another album, or?
I had just had a collection of songs, and I really felt like it was time to do something else. I mean, I don't think any of us should stop being creative.
Right.
And even though I'm not 20 years old anymore and, you know, out on the road, I still want to create. And I think any artist wants to keep creating. And did you know Steven Tyler was 61 years old? Oh, my God. Okay, I'm not that much younger than him.
But he had that, like, 21-year-old girl on the back of his girlfriend.
Oh, my God. Anyway, I just read that today. I was like, whoa, 61? I didn't know he's that old.
Wow.
But Yeah, he's still out there, you know, singing, yeah, creating, working, and that's what we all do, is we want to just keep working. And right, and so Mile by Mile was me just putting everything out there, and I haven't gone on tour with Mile by Mile. Mm. I did release it at the Brava show, but, you know, I haven't gone on the road very much with it.
Yeah.
And... but it's on my website, and people can, it sells steadily, not a lot, but steadily. And one thing that I probably will do, and I will say, yes, I will, not probably, but I will do, and that is I will, you know, take the concerto out there and perform that. And maybe from there I'll go on some, you know, brief tours.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's important to keep creating.
Yes. You know, especially in different form, again, you know, to keep expanding what you're doing, not right, to be in a box.
Yeah, you know, totally.
Whatever the public thinks.
Exactly. But people want, you know, I don't think people are open to a lot of different things. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, that we live in a very big world.
Yeah.
On a very small planet, but it's a very big world. And there are a lot of people, and they all have different interests. So
exactly.
It's a lot of different interests out there.
There's room for everybody.
There certainly is.
Yeah. Well, let's put on There You Are, shall we?
Okay.
Okay.
What I can
Yeah. So that was Woody Simmons off of her brand new album, Mile by Mile. And, whoops, that was There You Are. We did press play, There You Are. Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought we'd moved on. I should put the volume up as well. That would help.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we just played There You Are.
Okay.
And then we were talking about maybe playing Smoking Cigars.
Okay, that was number...
Which is also on Mile by Mile.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The eighth track.
And that I wrote a couple songs after 9/11. And this is one of them. And I actually, honestly, played everything on this.
Every single instrument?
Even the drums.
Okay.
But I had to edit it a lot. I had to edit it quite a bit.
Okay. And did you do the smoking of the cigars as well during the track laying down?
While I was writing it.
Okay. So there's still burns on the paper from the ashes.
Yeah, that's it. The ashes.
Yeah.
Ashes to ashes. You know.
Yeah. Smoking cigars.
Yeah.
So is it your, you've got one of those one a day habits where you just chew on the end for most of the day?
No, it's more like a once a year habit.
Once a year.
Yeah. Sometimes twice.
Ah.
But you know, it lingers quite a long time in your system.
Oh, okay.
Cigar smoke.
Like 6 months, you mean?
Oh, God, forever, it seems. It just sort of lingers in, and it comes back, and you go, what is that? Oh, ugh, the taste. Anyway, yes, we're having fun.
Yeah.
In case you were wondering.
Yeah, what do you think? Now, Obama, of course, he has a problem with his one, it seems, vice is cigarettes.
Smoking, yeah. And we never get to see him smoking. Which is pretty interesting.
Well,
I'll let the guy have a vice. I mean, he doesn't seem to get drunk. You know,
yeah.
We have other presidents that did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at least when you're smoking, you're not like, you're still able to drive.
Right. That's true.
You know what I mean? You can still drive. And,
yeah.
He has other problems, like these crazy people that stand up and scream at people who are trying to actually talk at these meetings about healthcare, which is, you know...
It's been very strange.
It has been very... I'm sure he thinks, what have I got... What did I do? Who are these people? I'm sure he had no idea that it was going to get quite this crazy.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
what I mean?
The interesting thing.
It really has gotten crazy.
Yeah.
So I feel for the guy, and there's somebody calling. Let's see who they are.
Hello?
Hi.
So Kathy must have... Oh, she's not here yet.
Oh, wrong number.
She starts in about 10 minutes.
Okay, wrong number.
What's her name? What's your name? I'll tell her. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye. So, and, you know, the thing is about the healthcare that people don't really talk about is that the companies, I mean, they kind of mention it, but I think, don't you think it's kind of funny that people profit from other people's illnesses?
Yeah, it's obscene.
It's kind of obscene.
Yeah.
I love that, who was the guy in England, the healthcare...
The minister there, yeah.
A minister, yeah, who's like, you know...
He's having to basically refute all these ridiculous things that those crazies have spread, all the lies.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Well, I grew up in England, you know, with the national health system, and, you know, my family's there, and, you know, they've never paid, you know, I mean, you never pay a penny, you know, if you're paying your taxes, but...
You don't have an accent.
Oh, thank goodness it's gone after
all
these
God,
years.
Oh, God, really?
But
so,
people,
yeah.
People, they've made people afraid. Again, it's that fear thing.
Oh, and they think he's really scary because he's a socialist.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Even Margaret Thatcher couldn't get rid of the healthcare system. I mean, that's somebody, you know, she could have.
Right.
But they wouldn't let her.
Right. If I think if people had a good healthcare system, they wouldn't want to get rid of it either. But they just, you know, it just doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
And... We have a national health care system, Medicare, And they've taken very good care of my father, who has been ill off and on. He's in his 80s, and he has Medicare, and they've taken very good care of him. He also has private insurance. Mm-hmm. So between the two of them, he's taken very good care of. But because he's on a really good health plan, he doesn't have to pay nearly what I pay on my health insurance. And I have Kaiser.
Same
and
here.
It is unbelievably expensive. I mean, I can't even believe how much it costs.
Yeah.
So we should have a reasonable premium to pay monthly that,
right.
that isn't going to... I pay as much as some people pay for rent. I mean, it's
wow.
just unbelievable.
Whew.
So it's gotten so expensive, it's hard for small business owners. It's hard for everybody to pay for health care. So anyway...
Yeah. That's what I hear. You know, I mean, small businesses around here, they would love single-payer stuff because then they can get out of the business of being healthcare providers.
Right.
You know, that's not their job.
Yeah.
You know?
Their job is to provide a job.
Yeah, exactly.
And we all need a job.
Yeah,
so,
lots of
a
them.
Lot of people need a job now, you know. But anyway,
yes.
So going back to 9/11.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And just, you know, I mean, I don't think any of us will ever forget where we were
right.
when we heard about it or saw it. My mother called me up and said, was screaming, "We're at war."
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to scream on the radio, but she was screaming, "We're at war." She had lived through, you know, World War II. So,
right.
And Pearl Harbor and, you know, so
right.
it seemed like to her we really were at war. And
yeah.
indeed, things have happened. But, yeah, so I wrote a couple of songs after that. I just personal songs
mm-hmm.
for me, but this was sort of the one that was the black comedy.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's about what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, this is the black comedy song. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll put it on.
Okay.
Floyd's in the hallway, why didn't it be? Junkyard Wars is on the TV. It's Sunday night, Monday's too soon to be. Who could imagine what life would be like? First you're on Wall Street and then fixing bikes. Riding the wave.
quite a sudden little stop on you on the song there.
Yes, it's a metaphor.
So the smoking cigars, a sudden stop.
Yeah, it was a sudden stop for many people that day.
Oh, that's right, yeah. 9/11, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's incredible, the reverberations of that. Children, you know, really a whole generational thing, I suppose, have that in their heads now. Like we had the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
I suppose they have the 9/11.
I think we'll, yeah, any of us that were there definitely will have it always.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, most of your songs, do you get them, are they really, a lot of them, to me, they sound autobiographical. You have a very, it seems like it's coming from you.
I think, I write from a personal space. Mm-hmm. I'm not like, I've tried to write, the ultimate political song or the ultimate, let's, you know, we are the world. it's not really something I do. I write more from a personal experience. And, you know, I would just hope that writing from a personal experience is universal, you know, because we all have, you know, the same thoughts and feelings and...
That commonality.
Yeah, we all do.
Hmm. And some of us, unfortunately, some of us, you know, forget it, and we need artists to remind us.
Mm.
I think that's, mm-hmm. you know, where you come in. I mean, without you, we'd be a pretty sad lot, I think. Wouldn't know what to say. I mean, I know for me, music and the words from music fills out a life. You know, it gives you, I know, they give you words mm-hmm. to use in your life, it seems.
Well, definitely, I think that for, I have my own favorite people that do that for me as well, so... Mm-hmm. And I like to write.
Yeah. Who are your favorite? Who do you listen to?
I knew you were going to ask me.
You thought you'd get out of it for the end.
Really, I thought I was safe. Yeah. Well, you know. Just, gosh. Who do I listen to now?
Yeah. Who, you know, when you go home, you know, who were you? Stick on the...
You know who I like? Kim Tuven. Do you know who she is? She's from Portland, actually.
No.
God, she's amazing. Kim Tuven. Huh. Should have her on sometime. She Kim does Tuven. Tour, I think. T-U-V-I-N.
Hmm.
I listen to her. She has some great introspective. She has a wonderful voice. Great songwriter. You know, independent artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the, do you know Cirque du Soleil in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Does this Beatles?
Love, yes.
Love?
Yeah.
And was it George Martin?
Yeah, George Martin and his son, Giles.
He died a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. Anyway, he and his son put the montage of songs, Beatles songs, together for that show. And actually, when I first heard it, I just couldn't believe my ears. I could not believe that what they did, because they made it. It took them, I think, 3 years
really?
To put together that whole thing. And they had all the separate tracks. And anyway, that I love that music. And
yeah.
I love what they did with it. So that's one of my favorite things to listen to,
yeah.
believe it or not. That, because, like I said before, I am a Beatles
fan. Yeah.
Fan, yeah.
But that's true. I listen to that almost more than any other Beatle album now. I listen to Love. It's just,
yeah,
it's incredible.
It's incredible.
It is.
If you haven't heard it, you should. And I'm a Rolling Stones fan.
Oh, wow. I never would have known.
Oh, I know. I didn't used to be, but...
Oh, it's grown on you, really?
It has grown. They've grown on me.
Oh.
Yeah, I listen to the oldies a lot. I love oldies, but, you know.
Yeah, the old traditional things.
One of my clients, I have a studio in Pacifica called The View, VU, and one of my clients, Marka Cassidy, is someone I actually listen to that album a lot.
Mm.
And it's not just because I produced it or, you know, recorded it, but I really just, her stuff is so amazing.
Oh.
And I love that.
So, oh, check it out.
Yeah. I don't know what else.
Yeah.
Could go on and on.
But. Well, Miss Annie is in the studio now, and she does soul and R&B and the best stuff. She is incredible.
Very cool. Do you know who Bobby Freeman is?
Yes, I'm going to play Bobby.
He's my neighbor.
You're kidding.
I just talked to him.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, tell him I'm going to play Little Old Cowboy for me. I was going out the door, and I thought, I've got to play some local people.
Yeah.
I always love to play
Bobby. Oh, wow.
Yeah, play Bobby.
Beautiful request from Woody.
I'll tell Bobby I requested it.
Exactly.
And it's Sly Stone at the beginning of that tune.
Okay, cool.
Really?
That's very cool.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Well, wonderful. We've come literally to the end of our two-hour show. You've been here 2 hours,
Can you believe
Woody?
That? I love being on 2 hours. Nobody called to ask my opinion of something. I want to give my opinion, but, you know, hey.
Yeah.
We tried.
Well, you gave a few out generally, but
yeah,
not
we
specifically.
Did. We did. Thank you so much for having me on. It was really fun.
Oh, great, so. Woody. I really appreciate you coming in all the way up here to Occidental and entertaining us.
And KOWS.
That's right. Yeah, give us a shout out.
Okay. KOWS, cows in yeah. Occidental. We love it.
Thank you so much, Woody. I'll put my little outro music on and wish everyone a fond farewell. This is Arnoldi, a host of Tom Izzolidi Camp, and you're listening to Cowles Radio. Well, thank you very much for listening to another edition of combination of issue and edition of Tom Izzolidi Camp with Arnoldi, your host, and wonderfully entertained by Woody Simmons. Hope you've enjoyed it, and you can listen to if you go to my website, you're in a few days, hopefully you'll be able to listen to this interview again and to some of the other interviews I've had. You can go to tomizholidaycamp.com. So you listen to Cowles Radio, and coming right up is Miss Annie, 707-874-1073. I'll get the number right eventually. See ya.
First, you won't.